Chapter 50. Salutation of which he delivered himself was a sulky good night, father. Apostrophe apostrophe with a brief speech, and a scowl at his sister, he left the house. Since his sheet anchor had come home, Mr. Gradgrind had been sparing of speech. He still sat silent, when Louisa mildly said, Rachel, you will not distrust me one day, when you know me better. Apostrophe, it goes against me, apostrophe Rachel answered, in a gentler manner, to mistrust anyone. But when I am so mistrusted, when we all are, I cannot keep such things quite out of my mind. I ask your pardon for having done you an injury. I don't think what I said now. Yet I might come to think it again, why the poor lad so wronged. Apostrophe, did you tell him in your letter, apostrophe inquired Sissy, that suspicion seemed to have fallen upon him, because he had been seen about the bank at night? He would then know what he would have to explain on coming back, and would be ready. Apostrophe, yes, dear, apostrophe she returned. But I can't guess what can have ever taken him there. He never used to go there. It was never in his way. His way was the same as mine, and not near it. Apostrophe, Sissy had already been at her side asking her where she lived, and whether she might come tomorrow night, to inquire if there were news of him. I doubt, apostrophe said Rachel, if he can be here till next day. Apostrophe, then I will come next night too, apostrophe said Sissy. When Rachel, assenting to this, was gone, Mr. Gradgrind lifted up his head, and said to his daughter, Louisa, my dear, I have never, that I know of, seen this man. Do you believe him to be implicated? Apostrophe apostrophe, I think I have believed it, father, though with great difficulty. I do not believe it now. Apostrophe, that is to say, you once persuaded yourself to believe it, from knowing him to be suspected. His appearance and manner, are they so honest? Apostrophe apostrophe, very honest. Apostrophe, and her confidence not to be shaken. I ask myself, apostrophe said Mr. Gradgrind, musing, does the real culprit know of these accusations? Where is he? Who is he? Apostrophe, his hair had latterly began to change its color. As he leaned upon his hand again, looking gray and old, Louisa, with a face of fear and pity, hurriedly went over to him, and sat close at his side. Her eyes by accident met Sissy's at the moment. Sissy flushed and started, and Louisa put her finger on her lip. Next night, when Sissy returned home and told Louisa that Stephen was not come, she told it in a whisper. Next night again, when she came home with the same account, and added that he had not been heard of, she spoke in the same low frightened tone. From the moment of that interchange of looks, they never uttered his name, or any reference to him, aloud, nor ever pursued the subject of the robbery, when Mr. Gradgrind spoke of it. The two appointed days ran out, 3 days and nights ran out, and Stephen Blackpool was not come, and remained unheard of. On the fourth day, Rachel, with unabated confidence, but considering her dispatch to have miscarried, went up to the bank, and showed her letter from him with his address, at a working colony, one of many, not upon the main road, 60 miles away. Messengers were sent to that place, and the whole town looked for Stephen, to be brought in next day. During this whole time the whelp moved about with Mr. Bounderby like his shadow, assisting in all the proceedings. He was greatly excited, horribly fevered, bit his nails down to the quick, spoke in a hard rattling voice, and with lips that were black and burned up. At the hour when the suspected man was looked for, the whelp was at the station, offering to wager that he had made off before the arrival of those who were sent in quest of him, and that he would not appear. The whelp was right. The messengers returned alone. Rachel's letter had gone. Rachel's letter had been delivered. Stephen Blackpool had decamped in that same hour, and no soul knew more of him. The only doubt in Coketown was whether Rachel had written in good faith, believing that he really would come back, or warning him to fly. On this point opinion was divided. 6 days, 7 days, far on into another week. The wretched whelp plucked up a ghastly courage, and began to grow defiant. Was the suspected fellow the thief? A pretty question. If not, where was the man, and why did he not come back? Where was the man, and why did he not come back? In the dead of night, the echoes of his own words, which had rolled heaven knows how far away in the daytime, came back instead, and abided by him until morning. Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.